you'll be ready to, you'll know when the benediction is. It's my pleasure to invite and to welcome, to join with us in worship this morning, Carlos and Rita and their daughters, Eleni and Teresa. We met them, I guess it was 3 summers ago, our very first trip to Hungary, and they are a wonderful couple. They're very relaxed, very personal. It doesn't mean, however, that they're not hardworking, because they've been laboring faithfully and diligently for the Lord in Hungary. Carlos was born and raised, as well as Rita were born and raised in São Paulo. Is that the right way to pronounce it? São Paulo. Carlos was became a Christian at the age of 19, led to the Lord by his brother. And during that time, through that process of getting his life under the lordship of Christ, went to a seminary to take some classes to help out with the ministry there, eventually enrolled as a student, graduated from that school. It was during that time there that he met his wife, Rita, and I guess about a year, 11 months after they met each other and started spending time together, they got married. After they got married, they went to Mozambique in July of 1991, or to South Africa, I think, right? South Africa. He spent a year in Mozambique, 7 years in South Africa, reaching out to the Indian people there. In 99, they returned to Brazil and developed a relationship with Operation Mobilization, who then sent them to Hungary in 1999, and they have been working, actually in 2001. I'm getting my dates all mixed up. They've been working to basically plant a church there in a city of Ofalu and reach out to the Hungarians and the Roma people to try to not only bring them all to Christ, but also to bridge some of the gaps and the distance between these two people as they demonstrate the gospel and the unifying effect of the gospel for those who come to Christ. Their two daughters, Eleni is 15 and Teresa is 13. They are here with them this morning. If I can ask them to stand up, the whole Correa family, and let's give them a warm welcome.
I'm really glad to be here. I want to greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. It's better, eh? I'm very happy to be here, really. I believe it is a blessing from the Lord that we are here. The last week. I think it's too high, no? How are you? You are coming here, but you don't need to come here. You can stay there. The past week, it has been great for us. It has been a relaxed time. And I'm feeling like maybe a 13 years old. I say 17 years old the other day, but maybe it's not a good age to say. But we are feeling like we have one father and one mother, very young, Thomas and Susie. They are treating us like a children, and we can be the fourth and the fifth, and you can call me maybe Malakaya or Carlos is not a good name for the family, then you have to change it. And we are glad we are, you know, I built up your little belly here. We are eating so much, we never eat like this. And it has been so great and so wonderful. We feel at home and we really do that. And it is, I believe it's a blessing from the Lord. And I thank the Lord for Thomas and Susie and Micah, Elijah and Zach. And we are glad to be here. The Lord has brought us here and we do believe that. We met Pastor Thomas in 2002. With some of your members. I don't remember who were in that team. I'm sorry, but I think Christina and Jason. Can you help me? I'm going to mix all the names. If I say, Brother Wei and the other, but yeah, I was blessed to be there and to receive them, and you have been a blessing to us from this church. And I really thank you for allowing us to come here and for the privilege of sharing with you in this morning, and we are glad. And I chose a text in the Bible. Someone asked me, what are you going to preach Sunday? And I say, oh, Luke chapter 14, 25 to 35. But yeah, I had in my mind a lot of things to share, and I believe the Lord placed in my heart this text in the Bible. And if you can open there, I'm not going to read. Someone told me that you don't supposed to read. But the Lord talks to us about discipleship. I became a believer when I was 19 years old. Before, I used to go to different religions. And when I was 17 years old, I decided to go to the Hare Krishna temple. Do you have a Hare Krishna here in America? And I decided that because I like the food. I like to eat the food. It was very good. And I like to see them, how they were. And to become a disciple in that Hare Krishna temple, I had to do something very unusual. I had to shave all my hair. That is not so easy. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not sure if I can shave every part of my body. I cannot do that. But it was one of the requirements. I didn't do that because I was 17. And when you are in Brazil, you cannot go to any place before you are 18 years old. I was minor. They say to me, come back the following year. But then I changed my mind. I went to another place. I didn't want to shave my hair. But it gave me some understanding about discipleship, because you have to do that. You have to shave your hair, if it's possible. And then you have to put some cream on your body. And every morning, 4 o'clock, you have to wake up and have a shower and all this funny stuff to be discipled. And then you give up everything to them if you have money. I didn't, but if I had, I had to do. But and then you became a disciple and you follow this, their religion and so on. That was my understanding about discipleship, really, when I came to know Jesus. When I was 19, you know, I was a kind of a hippie. It was the 70s, you know, movement, and in Brazil it is always come late, you know, then America, and then I used to travel around Brazil and camping here and there and using drugs. And I went to the south of Brazil. And then my brother, he starts talking to me about Jesus. I was getting crazy, you know. I was really losing my mind. I didn't know what exactly to do. I was miserable with my life. And he was talking to me about Jesus, and Jesus is this, Jesus is that, Jesus is that, and so. And I saw the people in the church. It was a beautiful church like this one, full of Brazilians like this one. And I start to look at them and say, maybe something's good here. Something in this church, in these people is true. I was sitting at my brother's house lounge, and I made this simple prayer. Lord, if you are what they are saying you are, please set me free. That was my first encounter with Jesus, is that Jesus was the deliverer. He came to deliver me from my sins. He came to deliver me from drugs. And I just say, if you are, please set me free. And he did. You can see now that he did. Amen? And I went back to the school. And 1 year later, I was with these, all these questions in my mind. What should I do? Why the Lord saved me? And so on. And I asked Jesus, what is the reason for me to exist? Why I'm here? Why did you save me? Why? What do you want with me? I don't know what to do. I was in the school, in the college. I was doing agriculture. And then he showed me I have to go to a mission station to be there. I thought that it was just for 1 month. I went for a program that they call Give Your Holidays to Jesus. That's a good program. You know, take your holidays and you go to work somewhere in Brazil, in the jungle, in a place known as Valley of Snakes. And I say, okay, I go for this month. I went for 1 month, I stayed there for 5 years. Because I met Rita. I just... it's not true. I met her there, of course. That was part of God's plan for her life. It's true. I don't know why you are laughing. And I stayed there for 5 years. The Lord touched my heart. They had a little place called, what they call? Prayer Center. And they had all, it was a prayer center where they had 7 small rooms where you go inside and pray. And I was praying there and the Lord touched my heart and he says, stay here. And I say, but I don't, I say to the Lord, I have no money. I still have no money up to now. What? They say, just, you're going to stay here. Then I say, okay, you're going to talk to the director. If he says yes, then I stay. I went there. I met this pastor, old pastor, and I say, see, the Lord is telling me to stay here, and what do you say? They say to me, if the Lord is telling you to stay here, stay here. No problem. And I stayed there for 5 years. I didn't know where the money was coming from, but I did, because I want to follow Jesus. I want to show Jesus that I love him. And I really believed. In that time, when I was not a believer, I couldn't stand here. I was not a nice guy. I was not someone that can speak publicly. In fact, I ran away from public. And I was still very shy to speak. And but the Lord changed my life in such a way that he said to me, you go, you have to be a missionary. When I was reading this text in the Bible, Luke chapter 14, verse 25 until 35, you know, when you, I don't know if you had experienced that, but because I was not a believer, and I always, it's amazing to read the Bible and the Bible talks to you, you know, and you are challenged for what it is there. And I was reading this one day, and I thought to myself, it must be, I think I cannot read well. Because what I read here is not so good. What I understand is not so well. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, let's hate, the word hate. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. See, I want to be Jesus' disciple. I don't know about you, but I want to be his disciple. Not only someone that follows him, but someone that is there. Someone that knows him. Someone that's close to him. I don't know if you have a favorite disciple in the Bible, I say, but the one that I think is the best apostle of Jesus is John. Because John is always with Jesus. He's there all the time. You see him all the time. He's John and Peter. And you see him with Mary. You see him with Jesus, wherever he is. And then he comes in the Last Supper and he's there by Jesus. And it seems that he has an understanding about Jesus, very close. And that was my desire, to be with Jesus, to be all the time. And he says here that if we cannot hate our brother, our sister, our mother, our father, even our own life, we cannot be his disciple. It's so strong. It's very strong to me. Because he wants to be the first in my life. Not Rita. Rita is very beautiful. She married a beautiful guy. And we have children beautiful like us. And everything is beautiful. But she cannot be the first in my life. I cannot love her more than Jesus. I cannot. That is my understanding about this hate word here in the Bible. Is that we cannot have someone greater than Jesus in our life. In Matthew, the word is not so strong, Matthew 10. He says that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Who loves his daughter and son more than me is not worthy of me. He says, you have to love Jesus more than anything else. You have to hate even yourself to love Jesus, to love Him, to be worthy of Him, to be His disciple. Of course, we know salvation is free, although it's costly, and it costs Jesus His blood, but it's free for us. We don't need to pay anything to receive it. Some people, they try, but it's not possible. They cannot pay salvation with promises or fulfilling some duties in their religion. But to follow Jesus costs us everything. He says we have to give up all that we possess. See there. So therefore, verse 33, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up his own possession. You know, when I was new in faith, not so long ago, I read a book called The Disciple. From the author was Juan Carlos Ortiz. He has a nice name, middle name. Juan Carlos Ortiz. That's why I read him. And he has a nice story. He says, to be Jesus' disciple is something like this. You come to Jesus, and he say to you, do you want to be my disciple? You say, do you want to be my disciple? Say Jesus. Yes. Yes. Okay, you can be my disciple. And then you ask him, what should I do to be your disciple? Then he say, you don't need to pay anything, don't you worry. No payments. But you have to give up everything. What do you possess? What do you own? What have you got? Then you start saying to him, oh, I have a house. Then Jesus says, give it to me. You say, well, what else do you have? Have you got? Oh, I have a family. My wife is beautiful. Jesus says, give it to me. What else do you have? I have a daughter, two daughters. And Jesus said, give it to me. What else do you have? What else do you own? What have you got? You say, I have a bank account. $5 in the bank. Jesus say, give it to me. And he goes on. And he keeps asking you, what have you got? You say, I have my boyfriend. Give it to me. I have my car. Beautiful car. Jesus says, give it to me. What else do you have? Say, I have a house. Give it to me. Then you come to a point that you say, you don't know what to do. And Jesus asks, what have you got? You say, I have my clothing. And Jesus says, give it to me. Then you take out your clothes. That's enough. And Jesus says, give it to me. And then you are naked. Imagine you naked. And then Jesus asks you, what else have you got? You say, now I have my body. Jesus says, give it to me. What else? I have my soul. Give it to me. What else? I have my spirit. Give it to me. What else? Oh, now I have nothing. So Jesus says, now you are able to be my disciple because you have nothing. That's what I want you to be. I want to be nothing. You own nothing. You have nothing. You are nothing. At this point, you can be my disciple. Come and follow me. And then you naked, you go after him. Okay? After the meeting, you got naked and you follow Jesus. No. Not true. But you are before Jesus. Remember, not before me. You are before Jesus. You are there. And then Jesus says, well, I have all this stuff here. Clothing and cars and whatever you brought to him. And he says, I don't really need this because I cannot use this in heaven. Do something. Take this back to you. You can use it. You can wear your clothing. You can use my car. You can use my bank account, but I don't really need it. But remember one thing. That's what you need to remember. These are all mine. Not yours. They are mine. I'm letting you use it. Because you want to be my disciple, you gave it all to me. Now I'm just allowing you to use it and to wear it. To have children, you have to take care of your children, you have to teach them in my ways. But remember, they are mine. When I ask from you, just remember, they are not yours, they are mine. It is the point that Jesus wants us to get to follow him. We don't own anything. It's his. It's not my daughter, it's his. And sometimes the Lord asks from us our children, but we don't want to allow them to go. The Lord wants to use your children, your son, your daughter in the mission field. You say, no, but you can be here by me, you know. Just give money to this missionary and that you'll be okay. You don't need to go. Because we forget that Jesus is the honor we gave to him when we accept his lordship over our life. He is our Lord. That is the cost of discipleship. We don't own anything. We gave to him all our possession. It's quite hard. I know maybe here in America is even harder because you own more. You have more things. But it's the point that Jesus wants to use you, but you cannot own anything. It is his. It is his kingdom. It is his family. It is his mind. It is his body. He wants to use it. You need to remember. And sometimes the Lord wants to use your child, your daughter, but you don't release her. You don't want to give her to mission. You don't want to give them to serve the Lord because you want them to be a doctor, to be something else closer to you. Not a doctor in Africa, not a doctor in Asia, but here in America because you own. Is the possession. You possess it. But Jesus said you have to give all. Now that Jesus had an encounter with this young ruler in the chapter 18. And this man, he says, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? As this young man. Jesus answered to him in verse 20, chapter 18. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. Which means, I obey all the commandments. I'm good man. One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and give it to the poor and you shall have a treasure in heaven and come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was ext- extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. See, so this young man, he was a good man. He was not like me when I was young. Bad. Stealing. Lying. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't lie. He kept all the commandments. He was a good man. But he still lacked, like me. He was in the same condition because he didn't know how to inherit the kingdom of God. How come I could come to the Lord? How could I be saved? He was in the same form. And he came to Jesus and Jesus said to him, you lack one thing. Your total commitment. You have to sell everything that you want and give, not to me, give it to the poor and come and follow me. But he was so sad. And it is how we are sometimes when we cannot commit our life to Jesus. We are sad. We live a sad life. Miserable. Because we cannot take the last step towards Jesus. That is commitment. And he was sad because he had a lot of money and he could not give up his money, his treasure to follow Jesus. And he didn't. And Jesus said, it's so hard for a wealthy man, for someone that possesses something, owns something, not about rich, but about someone that possesses, someone that owns something, someone that thinks he has, when he doesn't. Jesus said that those who think they have, they lose it. And those who lose it for the kingdom of God, you gain. That's your sad. And sometimes we live sad lives because we don't fulfill what the Lord is asking us to do. We do other things. We commit ourselves to other things. We think about other things. And we try to do something that can appease ourselves. Because the Lord is calling us to go and we cannot commit ourselves to that. We are too rich. We have too many things to give up everything and follow Him. But if you cannot hate your own life, if you cannot hate your father, your mother, your brother and sister, even your own life, you cannot be Jesus' disciple. There is no possibility of being Jesus' disciple. You are not worthy of serving Jesus. That is my struggle in life, is to be found worthy of following Him. Because He did so much to us. He did so much to me, and He set me free, and He saved me. And how can I be worthy of Him? Amen? In Mark 3:13, there is a wonderful text. We were in South Africa, and we were going through a difficult time. And I was sitting down, I didn't know what to do. We are having a hard time there. Problems financially and with the people. And he said, Lord, we are here. We want to be your disciples. And what should I do? And then I came to this text in the Bible, Mark 3:13, when Jesus chose his disciples. It says he went up to the mountains. And he called the disciples that he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have the authority to cast out demons. You know, I was there thinking, hey Lord, I'm your disciple. What should I do? And he brought me to this text to say to me, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. He says, the first thing that you have to do is to be with me. That's why the Lord called us to be with him, to spend some time with him. Because when we are with him, we can understand his mind. We can understand how He wants us to live. We can understand what He wants us to do. Be with Jesus. Be with Jesus when He is there with His father and mother, you know, working with His father. Being there when He goes to be baptized, when the dove comes upon Him and says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Being with Jesus when He looks at the multitude and He says that He had compassion over them, because they were like sheep without shepherd. And 2 weeks ago when we were in Erch, I felt this. And I felt this real in my life. I saw the people. You know, in Erch, it's a new village where the team went to do some visitation. And we were in 2 houses. And I asked the people, "Do you want us to come here and start a church? And if we start a church, do you come?" They say, "Of course we come. If you come, we come." It's so easy, eh? Because they were there. They want to serve Jesus. They heard about Jesus. They want to serve Jesus. We were 2 weeks before there with the Evangelist Crusade. But they have no shepherd. And the Bible says that when Jesus looked at the people, He saw people like sheep without shepherds. You know, I asked in the morning, "How many leaders you have here in this church?" And someone said 50, with the deacons and elders and pastors. But I think the right number is 42. Deacons, elders. You have 42 people here that you can go when you have problem. If you don't like the older man, you go to the younger one, you know. If you don't like the English speaker, you go to the Cantonese, to the Mandarin, or to the Portuguese. No, Portuguese. But they have here, not only these 42 appointed leaders, but you have people here that can really be a blessing to you, that you can come and talk to them. But there are places in the world that they have nobody to hear. They have no one to follow. They don't know what to do. These days when we were there, they were talking about being born again and converted. And they asked me, "How can I know that I am born again?" I said, "If you accept the Lord in your life, you pray the prayer, accepting Him, you are born again." And they say, "Oh, then I am born again." And about 5 people, I don't know how many, children, and so they were saying, "I'm born again. I'm a new believer." Because they don't know. They don't know what to do. And they need people. And they are sheep without shepherd. And many of them. And if we can be with Jesus, when He look at the multitude, then we'll do what He said. He said, "Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers for the harvest field." That's His heart. His heart is to reach out for the people. That's why He died for us. That's why He was there. That we could be with Him. That we can feel His heart. That we can go into all the world and preach the good news. It's so wonderful to see when the people are saved. You know, we have this man, Attila. He is married with Juji. If you were in Hungary, you know Juji. But Attila is her husband. He used to drink a lot before. Now he's not drinking so much, just a little bit. But we used to meet him in the street, you know, very happy. And one day we were going down to Ofalu, and that road that goes down to Ofalu, with the van, the red van, and we met Attila, and he is happy, you know. And he comes to me and he starts saying to me, "Seret lek teged, seret lek teged, seret lek teged." What is that? Okay, thank you. "Seret lek teged" means "I love you." Can you say "seret lek teged"? Seret lek Teged. Teret Lek Teged. Okay, thank you very much. It's nice to know. And he's saying, Teret Lek Teged, Teret Lek Teged, and he starts kissing me, you know. He got to my face and like Jason when he was there with Bella. I never been kissed so much. Even my wife never kissed me so much like that. But so, it's yours, really. He didn't stop it, you know. I don't know if you ever been kissed by a drunkard. You know, it's very wet. And he kissed me. I said, oh, okay, I know, don't you worry. It's okay, sure, don't need to. I know. I heard. But then he brings out, he wants to give me a gift. Okay, he works with Miro in that time, you know, making the, I don't know how you work with Miro. But he used to work. And then he gets this package like this, and he gives to me. Guess what is inside? What was inside? The package. He works with? What do you do? Does he work with? Mirrors. He gives me? In the shape of a? Yes, he gives because he loves me. What can I do? But because we were visiting him every week and he was so happy, you know. He was very quiet when he was at home, you know. But when he was in the street drinking, because he loved us, he gave. But it's wonderful to see. Now he has changed because he's not drinking anymore and he wants to be baptized very soon. But he changed his life. And it's so wonderful to see that, how the people change life. That is the beauty of serving Jesus. You see how he can transform people's life. If you are with Jesus, that's what he wants you to do, to be with him. When you are with him, you can feel his heart for the people. You can know his purpose for your life. You can be sure about his will to your life. Some people in the Bible school, when you teach, they ask, how can I know the will of God to my life? Just be with Jesus, and you'll be sure what he wants you to do. You know, maybe you won't find people like Attila or Jason that kiss you so much. But you find people that need you, and the Lord wants you. That you be with him, and you can follow him. But you have to deny yourself. And you have to hate when the people want to take you away from the will of God. Sometimes it's your mother, or your father, or your brother. That's what the Lord is meaning here. When they want you to love them more than Jesus, it is time to say sorry, but I hate this kind of thing. Thing that you do to me, because you want me to love you more than my Father in heaven. But my priority is Jesus, is the Lord Jesus. I love my wife, but I love Jesus more. I love my children, but I love Jesus more. You know, I love them, but I cannot do what they want sometimes. You know, live in Brazil, we cannot live there. Because the Lord wants us in Hungary. I love them, but I cannot give that to them. They have to follow us. They have to be in Hungary. I have to be in Hungary. My mother in Brazil, I love her, but I cannot be by her. I gave her to Jesus, his mother. He takes care of her. You know, Peter, there in Matthew, had a wonderful experience with the Holy Spirit. But just after that, you know, chapter 16, Peter had that wonderful experience when he says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this was revealed by the Holy Spirit. But in verse 21, says that from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. As only Peter can do that, you know. He takes Jesus aside and he starts rebuking Jesus. God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. See, Peter didn't understand. Because the whole life of Jesus was here to die. He was always looking at the cross. He wanted to go up to the cross. That was his mission, was to die, that he could accomplish the will of God to his life and finish the work, his work, that was to die on the cross for us. That's why he came. That's why he was born. The reason for his birth. Now, Peter comes to him and says, no, God forbid it. It will never happen. See what Jesus say. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. See, Peter was his friend. Jesus' friend. And if your friend comes to you and say, oh, don't do this. Why you are going to the mission field? What you are doing with your life? You have your whole career before you. It's not, God forbid it. It's not the will of God. You are listening to these missionaries that came from Brazil. Your mind is not good. What do you say to him? Can you say, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Can you say that? But that's what Jesus did with Peter. Because Peter was talking nonsense. He was being used by Satan to distract Jesus. To deviate his attention from the cross. Can you say that to your mother? Get behind me, Satan. Some of you want to say that, yeah? I'm sure. Maybe it'll be easier to say to your mother-in-law. But it is very strong. And Jesus sometimes is strong, like when he says, hate your mother, hate your father. Get behind me, Satan. You are talking with Satan's words to me. You are not saying God's word to me when you say, I cannot fulfill the will of God to my life. Because God is telling me, go and preach the gospel. Go into all the world, make disciples. He's telling that to me. Why? You come to me, my mother-in-law, and say to me, no, don't do that. You have my daughter, you know. My daughter doesn't supposed to go to Africa or to Hungary to work with the gypsies or to Asia or whatever. That's not from God when the people say that to you. And Jesus, he was strong to Peter. Say, Peter, behind me, Satan. He called Peter Satan. And we know that Jesus was very kind. But when he wants to fight, he was strong. And he is making a point here when he says, hate your mother. Means love God more than anything else. Get behind me, Satan. Means you are talking with Satan's word. You are not saying things that is on God's interest, but man's. You're supposed to talk about Jesus. Jesus says, if you cannot do that, if you cannot take that stand, then you cannot be my disciple. That is the cost of the discipleship. Give up everything. Be strong enough to say, no, that's what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm going to do that. Even if you, mother, does not want. It's strong, I know. But it's a stand that the Lord wants you to take. And for us that are fathers and mothers, it's difficult to, to let the children go. But you, Jesus is our Lord too. We receive Him as Lord. We say to Him, be my Lord. Not my children. When they were born, I presented it to you. If I was Christian, I presented my children to the Lord, say, Lord, this is yours. It's not mine. Please take care. And after 20 years, He says, let them go to mission. Let them go to be doctors, yes, but in Africa. Because the Lord wants to call you, call people from this place to go to all over the world and preach. Says He chose the 12, brought them to Him, to be with Him, to spend time with Him, to understand what His purpose, and then to send them out to preach. To send them to preach. To be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Maybe it was very hard, some of my words, but the Lord wants you to be His disciple. He wants you to make disciples in all the nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to make disciples, we need to be disciples first. He tells two illustrations there. He says, a man is going to build a house. First, he sits down. And he considers the cost. If he can build it. Because if he cannot build, the people will ridicule him. You mock. He'll be a mocker in the community because he cannot build his house and he tried. It's half, you know? Half the way. And then the second illustration, he says, it's like a king that his enemy is coming against him with 20,000. He has 10,000. He sits down with his leaders to consider if he is able to fight. If he cannot fight, he will try to make an agreement of peace. In the same way, we need to sit down and to consider the cost. Jesus is our Lord. Amen? Then He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be in control. You have to give up everything, take up your cross, and follow Him. Be with Jesus. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. That is the goal. That is our goal, is to be like Jesus. To be with Him, to be His disciple. To be with Jesus. Amen? Can you be Jesus' disciple? Now, don't go out and telling your mother-in-law that was just an illustration, please. Don't take it too seriously. If you know, I want to be here another week. Okay? Let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless us. I was very short this time. But yeah, I really believe that the Lord wants to bless you. And He has people here in the congregation that He wants to send out to preach. Maybe you have spent too much time here with Him. He wants you to go with Him to Samaria. To go with Him to the mountaintop, to see the multitudes of people. To have compassion, to go with Him to Galilee, to go with Him to the cross, to see how He died for us, for you. And He wants to be like Him. I want to be like Jesus, knowing the power of His resurrection and suffer together with Him in Golgotha, but you also be able to see multitude of people coming to know Him, to be saved, and to be with Him when He calls His church in the at the last trumpet, when all the people from all over the world, all the nations, all the families, all the tribes, language, you come to worship Him. I want to be with Him. And now He wants to send you to preach. Maybe far, or not so far here in the community, but He wants to send you out that you can share the same blessing that you have to other people, that you are like sheep without shepherds. Can you commit your life to that, to be His disciple? We don't know exactly what He is going to ask from you. But now He wants you to surrender all that you have to Him. Give again if you need, because sometimes we give, but you take back. But if you want to do that, just raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to be your disciple. I want to be with you. I want to follow you. I don't know where you want me to go right now, but I'm ready. I'm available. If you want me, I will go. If you want me to stay, I will stay. But it's not my will. Let your will be done in my life. Let's stand up, everyone, even those who raised their hands. Let's pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to bless us, to touch our lives, to touch those who have raised their hands, to give them power to be able to fulfill the purpose of God to their life. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the will of God to my life and to finish His work. And that's our goal. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the privilege and opportunity to be here today, to share Your blessings, to share Your presence, Lord. To be with You here is so wonderful. All the people love You and You want to praise You. It's good, Father. We would like to be here to make a tent and to remain here. But You know there are people down there that they don't know You. They are suffering, they are being deceived by the devil. They need You, Father. And we know that there are so many people, so many nations in the world, so many places in Hungary, even here in America. We know that people need You. We just pray that Your Holy Spirit will guide us, guide those who are committing their lives to serve You, that they be able to be strong, that they will be able to take a stand, knowing Your desire and allowing the people to know that they love You more than anything else, Father. Of course, they love their mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. But they love You more than anybody else. Just pray that Your Holy Spirit give them that power and I'll touch the lives of their families and friends, that they will be able to encourage them to fulfill Your desire, to fulfill Your purpose to their lives, Lord. That Your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.
You may be seated. We'll move quickly here. Now, just in case you're time conscious, keep in mind, we started at 11:10, and half of you got here at 11:15, so we are just on time, right? So I'm going to ask Karen to share. She's going to be going to China next week, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
So she's going to share real briefly about what she's going to be doing over there.
Okay. I came here, I think, over my spring break, and I shared really briefly, so I won't repeat. As Pastor Thomas was saying, next week at this time, I will be sitting on a plane. I was really, really blessed by your message today, and there's so much that I want to share, Carlos, but I don't have time because it's after 12:30. So one of the things that I'd really like to ask of you all. This trip so far and our planning has been a huge, huge blessing. Financial provisions is always a big deal for people doing God's work because you have to ask people to help you. And it's hard. It's hard, especially if you were working and you were making money on your own. And going into it, I know every year God always provides for our STM members fully. But this year, I was a little nervous, and I was trying to tell my team members, don't worry, God will always provide. But deep down inside, I was scared that God might not. But maybe if he doesn't want me to go. And that's how I felt. And as a team, we have raised 6,000 more than we need as a team. And so that's a huge, huge blessing. Just to reiterate what I will be doing, I will be traveling around different cities, and I will be surveying and doing research there, trying to learn about what we can do as Westerners and what God is already doing there. I can't really get into the details now, and probably I'll be able to share more about those details after I come back because we don't really know what we're going to find out. But we have so many people to meet. At first, I asked for prayer. We need people to meet. That's why we're going. We're trying to meet with people that are working there. Now we have so many people that our team of 5 people has to be split up into 2 teams because we have so many cities to go to. So that's another really huge blessing. But the other blessing is that one of my team members is Costa Rican, and she also served with OM. The same organization that Carlos did, and she knows people from all over the world. So we have people from 6 different countries. We have almost 350 prayer partners already for our team, as a team. And many of you in this room are our prayer partners, but if you're not, it's not too late. You can still be my prayer partner. I have these team prayer cards. I put them in the back. I think they're at the service desk. You could go over there and there's a picture of my team. We're a team of 5 students from the seminary that I attend in South Carolina, and there's some prayer requests on the back. So I really welcome you to partner with us, and when I come back in August, it is a 7-week trip, I will hopefully be able to share with you some of the things that we've learned. And, yeah, I'm really excited. I'll be able to share more later. There's just no time. But if you have any questions about what I'll be doing, you can come see me. But otherwise, I'd really appreciate your prayers.
I'm going to ask Howie to hold on to that video presentation until next week because VBS is in August, so we got a little bit of time. Will you rise with me as we commit Karen to the Lord's keeping as she goes on this trip, and then we'll also end with a benediction. Father, we thank you for just your hand of protection and calling upon Karen. We pray that as you have made the provisions for her and for her team to go, we pray that you continue to go before them, make their path straight. We pray that you would set divine appointments for them to meet the people you want them to meet, that circumstances would arise in which they would have the opportunity to share the love and the hope of the gospel with those who may not know. And we pray that even in this trip, there would be preparations that could be made for future mission opportunities. And we pray that you would bind the heart of the team together and make them stronger as a team than they could function individually. Father, we thank you even for the reminder this morning as we looked at your word and as Carlos shared with us that too oftentimes the things that really keeps us from being able to experience the joy and the fulfillment that we so desperately long for is because we are either tight-fisted or we are small-hearted or we have lazy imaginations. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us and you would help us to lay before your feet and at the foot of the cross, bring to your throne all the things that would be barriers and obstacles that would keep us from being able to experience truly your joy and your peace in our lives, because that is what we desperately long for the most. But Father, help us to lay at your feet those things that would keep us from being able to experience the very things that our hearts desire most. Thank you for our worship this morning. We pray that you would have been blessed by it, even as we have been blessed by it. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You are dismissed. Go in the peace and the love of Christ.